This is Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine, the most listened to podcast for parents by parents.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine, the podcast talk show for parents. I'm Janice Robinson Celeste, and I am your host and publisher of Successful Parenting Media. I want you to tell all of your friends and followers about the show. After all, sharing is caring. Know that our hashtag for the show is hashtag BackTalk. Now, the Black infant and maternal mortality rates in the United States is ranking with third-world country status. Black babies are four times more likely to die at birth than white babies, and Black women die in childbirth almost three times as much as white women. My guest today is Mariah Oates. And I want to welcome you to the show, Mariah.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, she is the Director of Communications and Development for Mama Toto Village, where they have maintained a zero maternal mortality rate, which is fantastic. So, you know, the first thing I want to do, though, is to tell us a little bit more about Mama Toto Village and its core mission.
Yeah, so Mama Toto Village, we are a Black maternal health nonprofit providing perinatal and postpartum services, lactation services, home visiting services to Black moms in the district and in PG County, Maryland. Not only do we offer perinatal support services and postpartum services, but we also have a workforce development component where we are helping Black women get into the maternal health space because we all know that we affect change from within, right? So we train Black women to be perinatal community health workers, community birth workers, and lactation specialists. And then aside from that, we also have our advocacy component. So we are a part of legislation. We are signed to the Momnibus Bill. We are advocating for our clients, but also just for Black moms in the district in general. And then we also lastly have our storytelling component where we really amplify Black voices in stories, and we keep it very raw, very real, and have the conversations that we're having at home, but we are now publicizing them. So that is Mama Toto Village.
Wow, that's a powerhouse right there. We're going to be talking about some of the advocacy and the voices a little bit later on. So I'm glad that you described it. And where is this located? Where can we find Mama Toto Village?
Yeah, so we're right in the district east of the river. So we are in Ward 7 off Sheriff Road. I'm proud to say that we are the only Black maternal health center east of the river. And that is important for people who are not local to DC to know, because east of the river, we don't have any hospitals on this side of town. So if you want to get care, you have to take the train, take the bus, take, drive kind of far to get those services. So you can come here and kind of get some of that and alleviate some of that travel. So I'm proud of us for being right here in the heart in the community.
I'm proud of you too for all of your accomplishments. So speaking of accomplishments, this year marks over a decade of service, correct?
Yes.
All right. Can you share some of your successes and highlights, or maybe even key learnings from the journey?
Yeah, so Mama Toto Village really started from our co-founders, Ozan Adari and Cassetta Pringle. They were both doulas, and they went through the doula training. And what they realized is that the doula training is missing a component that is culturally rooted. The doula training didn't really have anything that served certain people in certain areas and had social determinants of health. And they really wanted to kind of fill that gap. And that's kind of how Mama Toto Village was born. And Mama Toto Village, in Swahili, the Mama Toto means the connection between mom and baby. So we are very culturally rooted. And over the last 10 years, I mean, we've done a lot. We've served over 3,000 moms. We have a zero mortality rate, I'm so happy to say. We have provided home visiting, which I think really sets Mama Toto Village apart, is that we go in the homes. And not only are we doing, you know, your wellness visit, we're taking care of you, doula care, we are doing nutrition, we are providing emotional wellness, so mental health, childbirth education, we're doing advocacy, all of those things. And we are rooted in the mission of taking care of the mom as a whole person, right? We want to care for your baby, but we care about mom too. And then not just that, but just like your home, your partner, the community, because our vision is healthy mamas, healthy babies, and healthy communities. So all of those things we take in account, and that's kind of what led us to some of our successes.
Man, just give you guys all the funding right now. They're trying to solve the maternal mortality rate, and you guys are doing it. And you're doing the whole person, whole woman, whole mom. That's fantastic. Because I can tell you some stories now. Like, I remember years ago, even before this even became an issue, with my first child, I can tell you a story where I had to go to a clinic because I was young. You know, I was still young. I just got into college and I had my baby. But before I had her at a major hospital, a doctor I'd never met before because I went to a clinic, came in and yelled at me that my baby was going to be underweight and made me feel like I did something wrong. Mind you, I don't like, but I was eating ice cream every day because I don't like milk. So, you know, trying to make sure I gained enough weight, et cetera, did everything I was supposed to do. I was like reading up on parents' magazines. I was doing everything I thought I was supposed to do. And lo and behold, I was carrying her more toward my back. So she came out 7 pounds, 11 ounces. After I got yelled at while I'm in labor on the table by a strange doctor I've never seen before in my life. And he abruptly apologized because he came in huffing like, oh, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And left, you know? So when you have this kind of care that Mama Toto provides, where you feel like you're being nurtured almost as a mom, that's everything that's needed. We need to duplicate these centers everywhere. I think that's fantastic. So I'm going to get into a little bit about the Letters to Black Mamas campaign that's coming up, because we're going to be helping you guys out with that and putting out there. So if you're listening to the show today, we're going to make sure we print those. I'll put this video with those letters so you guys can kind of refresh if necessary. But the Letters to Black Mamas campaign, that's such a unique concept. What inspired this initiative and what impact do you hope it will have?
Yeah, so it started in 2021. We were still kind of in that thick of the pandemic. And a lot of things have gone on. And myself and Ozan Adari, we were having a conversation just about like, what do we need right now to fill our cups up? Because it was a lot of pouring out, if I'm being honest. And we sat and we thought like, how would it feel to receive a love letter from a mom who's going through something that I could be going through? And that kind of just sparked a conversation. And I was like, we should create something like this. So basically, Letters to Black Mamas is a campaign that is a love letter to another mom. We have moms writing from topics of back when we were in the pandemic, of how you're balancing all of that, how to navigate a child with special needs, how to handle postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, all of the things, being a single mom, being a co-parent. How it is to lose yourself and the comeback. I mean, the topics can vary. And basically, if you're writing a letter, you're writing it to another mom who might be experiencing the same journey. And we also did a couple of videos because we understand that people process information differently. So we had a mom, for instance, who was a breast cancer survivor and talking about navigating that and motherhood. So the topics have varied. And this year, we kind of switched it up a bit because a part of our approach is three-generational. So we kind of brought that into Letters to Black Mamas, and we have a mom, a grandmom, and a daughter all talking together in one room. And they're really sharing their motherhood journeys, their relationships with each other. The grandmother speaks about the relationship with her late mother and how, you know, their relationships kind of lended itself to their motherhood journeys. And it's really beautiful to hear just the differences in their birthing experiences, the camaraderie between them. And then I even got to watch them have like raw moments of like how their relationship has changed over time. So I'm really excited to share that, because, you know, our relationships with our moms can be complex, but they can also be beautiful. And it's conversations we're all having. Why not do it publicly? And then we hope to turn those questions into kind of like a game so that you can, too, have those conversations at home with your family. So that is it.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I can't wait to hear about the game. That's fantastic.
It's definitely going to spark conversation. It's definitely going to spark conversation.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Is there one profound story that you can share with us that you remember from the campaign?
Let me see if I can get some spoilers. let me think. There's like two that come to mind. The mom. So I'll start with saying like the daughter, the mom, and the grandma. So I'm going to refer to them in that way. And the mom shared a story of how for a while she didn't know if she could have children. And she was trying, and in whatever circumstances have come, she mentioned how her mother offered to carry her child for her. And I was like, wow, that speaks volumes to a couple of things, right? That's their relationship, the vulnerability, the sacrifice that that grandmother was willing to do for her child. And then eventually the mom was able to have children, multiple children. So she never had it to come to fruition, but she just talked about the relationship and the support that she felt from her mom from the beginning and how she wanted to make sure that she supported her daughter in the same way. And I just thought that was so beautiful.
It is absolutely beautiful. I mean, we kind of claim the babies anyway. They are babies, but to carry one for your daughter is amazing. That's fantastic sacrifice that she was willing to make. And, you know, that's what we moms do, right? We sacrifice for our babies.
It just makes you kind of think about your own self and just like things that you're willing to do for others. And it's such a selfless, beautiful act. So I was proud. I was like, wow. I'm like, mom, would you carry my baby? I'm gonna have to call her.
What did mom say? Mom was like, I don't know. That's a lot of changing in your body. Well, if I could go to Mamatoto Village, I would do it. I wouldn't do it at anywhere else.
I know that's right. But, you know, I am so excited for everyone to kind of hear their journey. I think it was so beautiful and there was a lot of layers to it. So I'm excited. We're going to launch it on Mother's Day. So letterstoblackmamas.com. Please tune in.
Okay. I understand you tackled some tough issues in the campaign, like postpartum depression. I suffered that with one of my kids. So can you talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, in this campaign, from just this previous one and the years prior, a lot of moms actually talked about postpartum depression and the signs that come, because it varies, right? And then a lot of people may not know about perinatal depression, which is depression when you're actually pregnant, because I actually had antepartum depression. So I can speak on that for myself. It's just like those feelings of like, you are excited to be a mom and it really doesn't have anything to do with the child, but it's all these other factors and it kind of just like makes you sad and you get overwhelmed with that. And if you have antepartum depression, it also can lead to postpartum depression. So you are at a higher risk for that. So a lot of the times OBGYNs will keep you kind of like on watch for that. A lot of moms just shared in like their sadness and not being able to communicate why, not being able to articulate and not wanting to be bothered. And sometimes it's, I don't really want to be around my child. Right. And sometimes it's, I don't want to be around my partner. So it can be a lot of things. And I think one of the most common things I heard is just being able to support somebody else, like really being able to talk about it once they find that community, which is why Mamatoto is a beautiful thing. It's like we have like a sisterhood here. Like when you come in, a lot of clients talk about how staff, like we make you feel like you're at home here and that you can talk about it. And then we also have emotional wellness therapists here so that we openly talk about it so that you can identify those signs too. So,
okay. And for the people who might be listening live, you can always ask a question. You can make a comment under the YouTube video or our Facebook page. You can comment there. It's a bit delayed. So if you have questions, ask now, because a lot of times I see the questions after the show and they never popped up during the show because you did it too late. So if you want to ask a question, now is the time.
Yeah. I see somebody from Philadelphia. That's not too far. Yeah. Not too far.
That's my hometown, Philly, too. So Ms.
Really?
Shirley, we've never met, but she follows our podcast and supports us, and we like her supporting us. So thank you, Ms. Shirley. I'm just going to give you a shout out. And matter of fact, just because of that, we noticed you. I'm just going to put your good afternoon from Philadelphia up there because we appreciate you. All right. So speaking of postpartum depression, I'm so glad that they have that community. Because you need to know that this is normal. And a lot of people, you don't know, like when I was going through it, I thought I was a horrible mom. I didn't bond with my baby right away. She's the only one I didn't bond with right away. And it would make me feel horrible. I mean, absolutely horrible. She would cry. I would cry. It was just a bad moment. But, you know, of course, eventually we did bond. It took like 9 months though, literally 9 months to bond with my baby. And I thought something's wrong with me. So you have this community telling you that this is okay and this happens. And then you have the doctors that are able to keep eye on everything. So that is absolutely beautiful and needed.
Very much needed. And I mean, If I can tell anyone anything, it's to talk about it. Communicate your feelings. Don't feel like you have to carry that burden alone, because you're not alone. There are so many women who experience a multitude of feelings, right? Because we're going through a lot of hormonal changes, and it's natural and it's okay, and we will get through it, and it will pass. So only thing I can say is please communicate, talk to your healthcare provider, talk to your community. You don't have to suffer in silence. Black women, we do not have to suffer in silence. Okay. I cannot express that enough. Please, please voice your opinions and advocate for yourself always.
That is the best advice. That is really good advice. So make sure you listen to that. Now, mothering can be vastly different across communities and individual experiences. So how does Mama Toto Village cater to such diverse needs?
Yeah, I mean, well, first thing first, we meet you where you are, right? I mean, our home visiting program, I mean, literally, we are coming to you in your environment. And I think one thing that sets Mama Toto Village apart is we are the community we serve. We look like them, we talk like them, we live in their environments, we've been through similar things. So there is no judgment here at Mama Toto. And I think it just kind of depends on what your needs are. We have multiple staff members that kind of adapt to what those needs are. So it really just depends. But I think the first thing is we get to know the person. Right. Before we're even providing care, we're talking to you, we're learning about you, understanding what your needs are so that we can make sure that we give you tailored care. And I think that's kind of how we do that.
You know what? I think that might answer my next question a bit, because I want to know now, how do you achieve a zero maternal mortality rate when the rest of the country is not? That's a monumental success all by itself, especially considering everything that's going on in our country with maternal health outcomes. What strategies or practices has Mama Toto Village implemented to reach this achievement?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's layered. It's a part of our program staff. I think it's going into, again, our home visiting, our wellness care, our emotional wellness, our advocacy. And a lot of our clients are having housing insecurity and food insecurity, and we tackle that head on because housing is a part of our advocacy and justice components. And just, you know, so everyone knows, like, DC has a real housing issue. And people don't often think that housing can be attached to maternal health, but it absolutely can. And it's also about your environment, right? We are giving you that perinatal and that postpartum support, but we're also giving you your environmental care and support as well. So if you are having housing issues, we are advocating for that, making sure that you have a good environment. If you are not eating, is it nutrition? We're making sure that you're coming to our Blossoming Bellies class. We have nutrition classes where we teach moms how to create nutritious meals for themselves and their babies. We're doing Well Mama classes, which is yoga. We're teaching you other ways to get that baby out and to stretch and move your body, because fitness and exercise is important, movement, right? Then we also have that emotional wellness. We're taking care of your mental health needs, right? Making sure that you can communicate and get the help that you need. And we're also in the advocacy streets with you. So we are advocating at WIG. We're talking to Medicaid. We are being your voice box as well. So I think it's kind of layered, and it goes back into our approach of just, we're not just checking in on that 20-minute appointment. Our appointments could be an hour. Right? We're in your home. So I think that really, really aids itself into our statistics, because we're doing more than just what you may get at your OBGYN, you know?
That is necessary, because, I mean, dealing with Medicaid is very stressful, and that's what you don't need when you're carrying your baby. It's a lot of stress. So the fact that you guys take those stressors off of the mom is pretty, pretty amazing. And I appreciate it myself as a mom who doesn't like to deal with stuff like that. So, even if I'm not pregnant.
And I appreciate that, because a lot of our clients are Medicaid eligible. So we have real relationships with MCOs. And I think that also helps to be able to be that connecting piece for some of our moms too. So it's layered. We do a lot, but it's necessary. And it's a practice that should be adapted nationally, because although we are local and we're focused on the district and PG County, like, it's a national issue, and it's a model that can be modeled nationally to help everyone else. So I think that if people really took the time to do more than just that 20-minute visit and to ask more questions and to provide actual tangible resources, I think we come a long way as a nation.
Now, you're right there in DC in your advocacy group as well. What inroads have you made with different politicians, maybe even the White House, to bring this to the forefront and to also just advocate for more centers like this?
Yeah, so we have communication and relationships with council members. They often come here. We do meetings with them. They don't leave us out of conversation. So I think that's one thing. I think when it comes to policy, there's a lot of layers. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of red tape. But I think our relationship with council people, we have been in communication with the White House. I think we are constantly putting these issues in the forefront, whether we're doing just, for example, our most recent housing report we put out that kind of documents what's going on in the district. And we've done a lot of research on it. Or if it's us on the front lines, like we are at the offices trying to advocate for housing right then and there. I think We're always in your face, and we're always in the conversations. We're signed to the Momnibus bill, I think I mentioned earlier. So it's just we're there. We're a part of that conversation, and we're just continuous about it.
No, that's great. That's fantastic, and I'm happy to hear that. And if Kamala is listening, hey, you know, you need to pull them into more conversations because we need this all over the country. We need it on the West Coast, East Coast, South, North. We need this everywhere, Midwest. So that moms can have their babies without that added concern of this statistic that's like just a, you know, 800-pound gorilla in the room. Like that, you think about that. My daughters, I have adult daughters, they got pregnant, and that's the first thing I thought about. Like, oh my God, am I going to have to worry about this? Am I going to have to worry about, you know, someone not being in the room to advocate for them because they live far away, you know? So, you know,
I didn't know. Right? Like, and that's feeling. What? That's unfortunate, yeah. Right? Like that you even have to feel that. Because I do want to say this, right? Like, yes, the statistics are there. Yes, we need to continue to talk about it. But we don't need to scare people away from childbirth either, right? Because birthing experiences are beautiful and they should be joyful. And there is a handful of communities who don't even have to worry about it, right? And I think that if you are educated and your partner is educated and you take the steps that you can take, I think that you will have a beautiful birthing experience. And I don't want people to get hung up on the statistics and the pain points. Like, yes, they're there. Yes, we need to talk about it because, yes, change has to happen. But we also have to focus on the joy and understand that there are solutions to the problem. And I don't want anybody to get scared, but it is a conversation. There is a lot of joy as well.
No, I love that. Keep it positive because, yes, we want it to be a joyful experience. I just wanted to mention that because I know that it's always it was in the back of my head. I'm a little worried because, you know, I deal in this industry. So I'm like, okay, make sure they do this. Make sure they do that. And I'm an advocate from far away. So I totally get that. Like, honestly, I totally do. And that's what it should be. And it was. It was absolutely joyful. And I have beautiful grandchildren to prove it. But let me ask you, as a mom coming into your center, I'm going to ask you to walk me through a few steps. So I come in for the first time, I find out I'm pregnant. What would your organization do for me at that point?
So you would go through an intake process, and you would deal with kind of like that admin side, our enrollment process. And then you would get a care team. So you would get a perinatal community health worker. You would get a care specialist. You would get an emotional wellness specialist. You'll get our health and wellness team. You'll get a lactation specialist. And then everyone would kind of work together to start scheduling your visits. We would start working with home visiting, so making sure that we're able to come into your homes. Again, you'll get that health and wellness. So that's like the nutrition, Blossoming Bellies class and all of that, making sure that you're eating, your water intake, different ways to do it, because not everyone's a water drinker, for example. You know, figuring out how you can do that. We also have emotional wellness again. So you'll get your therapist, you'll have your mental wellness checks. You'll meet with your community health worker. And this part is specific because it's tailored to that person's needs. So because we can get into advocacy things, we can check your environment, make sure everything is safe. We have some DV clients. We have, you know, people with different circumstances. So it kind of just depends. But yeah, you come get your care team, get your visit scheduled. You can come into the office. And I wish I could show you our office.
I wish you could see it because I know it's going to be beautiful.
A lot of people explain it and describe it as warm and welcoming and homey and just kind of like a very safe space. Again, like I mentioned, we all kind of look and talk and seem like each other. So it's a place where you can let your hair down. And yeah, so that's kind of what you get. And then we also have like our classes. We also offer public childbirth education classes. We also have a free lactation support group. It's called the Milk Bar. If you are local, it's a free event. If you are a new mom with a baby less than 2 weeks, then we can do it virtual with you so that you can still get a one-on-one with a lactation specialist. And then we also have like your healthy, your happiest baby, which is great for partners. So we offer a lot of like public and client specific events as well.
Okay. So now I'm ready to have my baby. Ready pop, you know, and I'm in DC, middle of an ice storm. I got to make my way over to the center, right? Or so you're not going to come my home. Right?
So we're actually not a birth center.
Okay. So now what happened?
Yeah, so you'll get a community birth worker if that's what you choose to do. And then a lot of people, if they're having a home birth, then we would have our community birth worker, who is another term for a doula, just with a little bit more training and community centered. So your CBW would come in and give you that labor support. If you have a midwife, the midwife would be there to provide labor support. So that's your home birth experience. A lot of our clients give birth in the hospital. So we would make sure that you have transportation to the hospital. We're going to get you there and we're by your bedside. So you'll have your community birth worker there with you, or you'd have your midwife with you. But it's essentially kind of the same, right? Like as any other birthing experience, you just have a doula with you, or you have your midwife with you.
Well, I would feel better that way too. So that way, you know, you have an advocate right there with you.
Absolutely.
Now, do you also work with water births, being that it's at home?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't think we've done water births, and it's okay. Not that we can't do it. Okay. I just don't think that that's like, we're not providing right. The water experience. Like,
right now. I've had that experience with my oldest daughter. So I was like, it was beautiful. And the warm water was relaxing. So I was just wondering, yeah. That's like another component that is just like almost being at a spa, but you're having a baby. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we put our moms in the tub. We put our moms in the shower. We do all the labor tactics and things, the massages, all of that, you know, during that labor experience. But a water birth, I would have to talk to our programs team. That's a good question.
Yeah, that might be a good one. Now, given the success of Mama Toto Village and ensuring like safe maternal health outcomes, what advice would you give to other organizations or communities striving to improve maternal health among Black women?
Start talking to your clients, start asking questions, start being more attentive to their needs and really thinking about their social determinants and their environment again, and what can be contributing to some of the things that they're bringing up. I think the solution is right there. A lot of the times the client, the patient, they're speaking to you and telling you how they feel. I think it's up to a lot of people to actually start listening. And then again, taking that approach of treating people like a whole person. So making sure that checking out all of the elements that could be contributing to whatever they're bringing forward. But it definitely just starts with listening and taking action appropriately.
I agree. I think that's what we need to do. Listen, considering all the stories I heard from everyone, from even Serena Williams, you know, just listen to the mothers about their bodies. We know our bodies better than anyone. If we're telling you something doesn't feel right, maybe you need to come right away and look into it and not wait or tell us, you know, we're not a priority, that which happened in one case that I know of. So yeah. I agree with that. Listening is so important. But looking forward, how can our listeners support the Letters to Black Mamas campaign and Mama Toto Village's ongoing efforts?
Yeah. So if you are interested in our Mother's Day campaign, it is letterstoblackmamas.com. You can share on social. We'll be posting all of our social media handles are Mama Toto Village. You can visit and support our capital campaign. We are actually right in the thick of it, trying to finish up our phase one. We're trying to raise $550,000 to pay off our construction loan for our building right here, because we have future plans to expand to a second level. And in order to do that, we have to kind of close out this chapter. So if you're interested in supporting our capital campaign, that website is themovementisforever.com. And then otherwise, you can visit mamatotovillage.org for all the things. You can view all of our campaigns. You can learn more about our mission. You can learn more about our home visiting program right there on our website.
Well, I'm going to encourage those who can to give to your organization, because this is so needed. You should not have to worry about money at all, considering this is one of the number one things we're talking about across the nation. You should be definitely well funded. If you have the means and you're listening, please look them up and give. It's also a tax write-off, correct? Okay.
Yep.
So I don't know much about accounting, but I know you get a tax write-off for giving to.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, well, absolutely.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Mariah, for coming on our show. But before we go, I want to know if there's anything else that you want to say to parents that we did not talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I think just educate yourselves. And this is for moms and partners, especially because when moms can't advocate for themselves, or if you see something that the mom doesn't see, advocacy goes all the way to all across the spectrum, grandparents as well. And really enjoy the experience. Birthing is beautiful. And it can be, especially when we have the tools to succeed right here in front of us. But that's it. Just support Mama Toso Village if you can. Share this, spread the word about us. We're here for the community.
Well, that's awesome. And I want to thank you again. And hopefully we can have you come back when you have some more news. And I know you're going to keep that zero maternal mortality rate, because, you know, you guys are awesome and you're doing all the right things. So again, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on.
All right. Take care. And thank all of you for participating and listening to Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine, the video cast and syndicated podcast talk show for parents. Don't forget to follow us too on Facebook at Black Parenting One and Instagram. And successfulblackparenting.com is our website that is full of great content to help you to thrive and not just survive as a parent. We'll be back next week with more. Until next time, I wish you all the best and much success. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine. We'll see you soon.